Women in politics recently saw some positive results. Obviously, Lisa Blunt Rochester's election to Congress, Bethany Hall Long won a statewide race for lieutenant governor. But creating Ready to Run Delaware suggests that you still see some work to be done. Where do your concerns lie with women in politics?
Women are only beginning to have a presence in politics, as you just said. But we are still nationwide only 20% of the government positions in legislative bodies at all levels. And that is kind of daunting, because one of the reasons that we started the Delaware ERA Now was because we wanted the Equal Rights Amendment passed. And I was one of those people, one of those 76% of people, who thought that it had been passed. And it turns out, I found out in late 2015 that it hadn't been. And that just kind of irritated me. And probably because I had more time on my hands being retired, I decided to look into it. And I persuaded six people to come sit in my living room here one night. And we decided it would be a worthwhile thing to start with what we call Delaware ERA Now. Out of that came Ready to Run Delaware, because the two are related. I mean, they're just together. If we don't have equal rights for women that will give them the tools that they need and the recognition that they need and the opportunity to be successful if they have any problems, but yet they don't have any recourse as far as any kind of discrimination, because it fails at the federal level. But for this and other reasons, we just kept coming back to the two overlapping themes, which were: we need more women to run for office, and if we don't get more women to run for office, we're going to stay at the 80% men, 20% women ratio. And how are we ever going to get anything that is really important to women, and not just to women, but to society as a whole? How are we going to have an impact on policymaking if we don't have seats at the table?
Do you feel, having said that, there are certain issues that don't get addressed fully because women aren't more fully represented in the political process?
Yes. We have areas that are unique to women in pay equity, pregnancy discrimination, violence against women, which has reached epic proportions despite the Violence Against Women Act that passed by Congress in, I think it was about 10 years ago, maybe more, and a host of other areas where women are trying to move forward, and they're getting stymied because women just don't have the same recognition as men when it comes to the workplace, particularly. And about 40% of women are actually the breadwinners in their families. So that becomes a social service problem as well.
I find this topic really interesting because we did a piece a couple of years ago on the low numbers of women in the General Assembly, but found at the same time that Delaware did fare well when you compare it to other states in regard to women in leadership positions. Melanie George Smith co-chairs the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee. Margaret Rose Henry serves as the Senate Majority Leader. Senator Nicole Poor is the Senate Majority Whip. Valerie Longhurst holds the House Majority Leadership post, and Deborah Hudson is the House Minority Whip. But is there a concern that even with all these women in leadership positions in Delaware's General Assembly, that it won't last if there aren't more women running, if there isn't a group of leaders behind them? Margaret Rose Henry has already said she's retiring next year.
We lost Karen Peterson, who was one of those in my living room, because she had just retired, or she was about to retire. We lost a real resource in Karen Peterson's leaving the General Assembly. Patty Blevins was defeated. That was a complete surprise. And statistically, in 2005 and 2006, Women in the General Assembly were at 30%. Mm-hmm. And 30% is a good place to start. I mean, if getting to 30% from even 20%. But right now, women without looking ahead at Margaret Rose Henry's leaving and so on, are at 20.1%. So we have gone backwards in Delaware in terms of the number of women in at the state level. And, of course, there are no women at the county council level in Kent and Sussex, and only, I think, four in Newcastle County who are council people. And Wilmington has a number of Wilmington City Council people who are women.
So how does Ready to Run Delaware's training address those issues of getting women to run and be successful and wind up in those positions?
What we've done is we've tried to tackle the reluctance of women to even consider running for office because they don't know what they're going to face. They know that it's going to be hard because it's a male-dominated climate. And they don't necessarily know how to deal with the media and running for office. And you know, you get into this whole, what was she wearing, rather than what is the issue. So what we've tried to do is set up a program where we have women leaders plus men also who are in the political system come to this other group of candidates or potential candidates that we have that we'd like to get going and get interested in, and have a discussion about what is it actually like and what do you have to do to become a legislator and how do you deal with the media and what do you have to look for. The first session is, you'll see in the program, is called What Women Candidates Really Need to Know. And then it goes from there. And we focus on campaign processes, and we focus on fundraising, and we have six sessions, and they are all geared to make women more confident. The one in public speaking is particularly critical because women are not in public speaking roles as often as men are, and so they need to get those skills that are necessary so they're comfortable. The other one that is so important is fundraising. And that's hard. That's hard because women don't like to ask. They want to be asked because they don't have the confidence to maybe get out there on their own. Like, a man will take it for granted that, yeah, I might be a legislator someday. But a woman doesn't think like that, for the most part.
And to be clear, this isn't a partisan effort. You do have people from both parties participating in this to generate candidates on both sides of the aisle.
Absolutely. And this has been one of our major focuses. And it's one that we've been concerned about with just this first experiment in the area. Because Delaware it has more people in the Democratic Party in politics than Republicans at this time. I mean, Delaware Democrats are in the majority. And so you dig around and try to find Republicans both to instruct the course, Republicans who may want to run for office because their kids are in school or whatever and they have more time and maybe they've been active in community activities and they want something else. But there are many fewer of them. It's very hard and we have to work harder to get it to be nonpartisan.
And as you mentioned, this is new to Delaware, but this program is one that has been done elsewhere. How has it worked elsewhere? And was part of maybe its success elsewhere one of the reasons why you thought you could bring it here and make it work here?
Yes. I researched programs all over the place, campaign training programs. And the one that came, that just rose above all of them, was the Ready to Run program of the Center for American Women in Politics at Rutgers. And we are an affiliate now. We have joined their network, and they, for the first year, will provide advice that we need and on getting started and that kind of thing. And then they will be there, their network will be there for us to get ideas from and compare notes with. Yes, it having that model was really good. We used almost all of the topics that they did. We were not able to cover all of them because they did a weekend day and a half conference, and they actually run two tracks, one for women who want to run for office and they're ready, and one for women who might want to run for office, but they're not really sure about it.
Do you have any goals for this effort? Do you have a kind of sense of how many candidates you'd like to be able to recruit short-term, long-term through this program?
Well, as I said, if we could get Delaware back up to 30%, that would be a wonderful first step, particularly if we could do it by 2020, which is the 100th anniversary of the right for women to vote. And so it's very symbolic. And so we're going to work on that. We are also in the Delaware ERA Now part. We are focusing not just on the federal Equal Rights Amendment, but in introducing a state ERA as well, which 23 other states have done since the federal government hasn't moved forward in 74 years with any legislation.
Are you more optimistic after, say, like the Women's March earlier this year? We've really seen the galvanized women into the political process. Do you feel like there's a moment now that women are maybe perhaps more interested and more ready to engage in the political process?
That's had a definite impact. I went to the COP, the Center for American Women in Politics, New Jersey program. And they normally had, they've been in existence for up to 12, 15 years. And they started with about 20 people, and they got to about 100 people coming to this conference every year. This year, they got 300 people, 300 women. And that is definitely an indication that there's some sentiment among women that they're getting tired of the status quo, particularly with the Trump administration. I mean, that was just a wake-up call to women because of the potential for things being reversed.
Is also, I guess, there's some trepidation about the makeup of the Supreme Court now as well, and its potential perhaps to, as you said, maybe reverse or, you know, take steps back to what has been gained for women so far.
We're definitely concerned about the Supreme Court. Not just for one person, but for more than one person resigning in the coming years, when we have an administration like the current administration. I mean, that just doesn't bode well for women.